This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we're taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Germany and Japan. You are now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Germany 1, Japan 2. One game with two very different halves. Of course, we're going to talk about both of them. My name is Ani Barres. I'm joined today in the car by Pascal Zuberbühler, our goalkeeper expert, Jürgen Klinsmann and Duri Chao, our technical experts, and Harry Lowe, our performance analyst. Jürgen, in the first half, Germany enjoyed 77% possession. For a long time, though, they didn't manage to create chances, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was a game of two halves, and first half, Germany dominated, not only in possession, also in occasions, just chances created, but never really 100% chances where you felt like, okay, they have to score. It was always half chances. Then finally they scored their goal through a penalty, which was deserved, and it seemed to go in the German direction, and second half was completely different. Japan made some tactical changes. Obviously, I let Duri talk about that. And especially they lost more and more battles one against one against the Japanese players. The Japanese players they became hungrier, feistier, more aggressive, and the game totally turned upside down. Even if Germany still had chances in the second half, with far less possession, obviously, to score goals. Gundogan had a good chance. He hit the outside of the post. So several occasions, but they were punished then by Japan in a way that was probably surprising to everybody, but well-deserved for Japan.
And Duri, in the middle of the first half, I think you mentioned to me that you felt that Japan had too much respect. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, you could see in the first half that Japan, maybe they don't believe that they can win against a big name, big country. And that you can see that in the duel, there was the body language, there was in the duel not strong enough and physically. And yeah, that's a problem when you play against an individual better team. Then sometimes you have to come with the mental class, but in the first half, Japan was not there, and they had a big problem to control the flanks, especially the left side from Germany when Raum coming up. But you could see in the first half some few times when they come in the final third that they have quality, they have the skills to create chances, and 1-0 is always a difficult result for the team who scored a goal, and yeah, in the second half they make it better.
Yeah, and maybe it was just a matter of the game plan that they had. I mean, they were very disciplined in their formation, very, very organized in a 4-4-2. Do you think this was just a plan? This is what they wanted to do, and it just didn't work out the way they wanted in the first half?
Yeah, I think the plan was the first half to play safety, with not too much, receive too much goals. They play with two holding midfielders in the four in the back, and two holding midfielders sometimes in 4-4-2, sometimes in 4-2-3-1. They try to help each other when Germany come with the individual class, especially when Musiala, Müller, and Gnabry come in with the ball. But in the first half was not good enough.
And Jürgen, in the first 15-20 minutes, we felt that Germany, just the way they moved the ball was a little bit too slow, but eventually they managed to create chances. What do you think made the difference? And in the second half of the first half, where they started to create chances?
Well, it wouldn't make a big difference if you put one of the chances, obviously, into the back of the net. If you make a second goal, then you follow up on the first goal, then you cruise kind of throughout the game and you win it. It makes a big difference if you don't score the second goal, because if you're not capable to go higher a gear or two gears higher in the tempo, in the passing, in the urgency, then you bring back the opponent who's down 1-0. You bring them back into the game, and then slowly, if they start to be feisty, aggressive, and win their one-against-one battles, then you risk actually the result. And it's exactly what this is what happened today, which we saw the Japanese team more and more believed in a chance to score. They believed in themselves, and they were just getting into their battles with more aggression and being more convinced about things. They did a smart move, obviously, in the second half. They switched back to a back three, and they switched in general, and they brought their wingers then higher up the field, and so they found a better balance in their own game. But I think it was more a mental point. Mentally, they just said, you know what, well, we can do this today, and they started to get more and more into the game. And Germany was never able to kind of go up in a sixth or seventh gear, which we saw from France in a certain way against Australia. They raised the bar right away after they went the goal down. Or you saw England from the first second on going into, you know, seventh gear basically and keep that rhythm. That's how you then actually end up winning against very, very strong sides as well. I mean, Japan has a lot of technical talent. Technically, they're very well educated, as we saw. So it's a lot of work, you know, to beat an opponent like that. And so if you're not able to kind of get the rhythm higher, faster, or more urgent, then you risk to lose the game. And that's what happened to Germany today.
And Harry, you shared some very interesting statistics with us at halftime that describe very well how Germany played, I think.
Yeah, honestly, at halftime, we looked at a metric that we have called team shape. So this is a calculation of every player on the pitch, their position throughout the game relative to each other. And we look at that both in possession and out of possession. And what was quite clear in possession for Germany throughout the first half is this 2-3-5 shape that they were adopting with the ball. And Raum was positioned very high in the attacking line, joining the four other attackers for Germany. And also on top of that, his receptions in behind. So he had the highest amount of receptions in behind Japan's defensive line in that game with 5. And also he had very high amount of receptions between the midfield and the defensive line for Germany. He was second in total for both teams in the match with 18.
And Dewey, Jürgen already mentioned that Japan came out after the half with a completely different attitude. They also made a tactical change. Can you explain how they lined up in the second half and what you felt, what difference did that make?
Yeah, they played in the first half with 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2 sometimes against the ball. But what I said that they have a big problem to close the flank, especially when Germany changed the side quick. So they bring Tomiyasu in the second half and play with 3 in the back, and the wing backs had more control over the flanks, and especially as well in the center when Musiala come in between the lines. And yes, then in the second half they was closer to the man, and that they was better in the challenge, they was better in the duel, use the body, tackle, and more and more I think they believe that we have a chance to win this game, or we have a chance to score a goal against Germany. And you could see in the first half they have the quality in the front, they have the pace, they have the skillful players who can score a goal or make it difficult for the German defense. And in the second half then they show they have players who have experience in Europe, and they make it very well.
And Zubi, I think we saw 2 great goalkeepers today. I don't know if you agree. Gonda was even voted player of the match. What do you think of their performances?
Yeah, it was really a very interesting game to follow, especially on the goalkeeper situation. If we start with Gonda, the Japanese goalkeeper, first half, on the penalty situation, you felt straight that he wasn't clear about to handle this situation well, because when the left fullback from Germany, Raum, controlled the ball and he turned even away from the goal, Gonda don't need to dive in this situation. He could easily stay on his feet and following him, but in this moment it was a wrong handling, and like this Germany came to the 1-0. But then in the second half, and this is very interesting to see, as the team Japanese was growing massively, also Gonda grew massively. But for me, a crucial situation was on the 70 minutes when he had the double save against Gnabry. You remember the header. The header on his left, a fantastic save, and then even on the rebound against Gnabry again, he was there. And that was, after 70 minutes, a crucial save, because with this they didn't get the second goal. Otherwise, for me, it was clear that Germany will win this game. And then on the other side, on the 70 minute, it was a great save, and another crucial save for Manuel Neuer. Out of the blue, Ito was shooting inside the box, and he made such a fantastic, explosive, big save with his left hand. And but in this moment, as Jürgen and Yuri Cha also already mentioned, you felt that Japan, they want to do more. They are doing more. They want to score goals, and finally they deserved to win this game. And yeah, it came on the end with a long free kick from Japanese behind the German defense. And for me, oh my God, I think we need to talk a little bit closer, Jürgen, especially with you as a German head coach. In this situation, Süle was completely wrong positioning. This was the first. Okay, in this situation, you saw that Rüdiger and Schlotterbeck, they stayed on the line, and Süle was behind them, 2 meters, 3 meters. And after Schlotterbeck was following the scorer Asano in this situation, and also Manuel Neuer, he turned his body a little bit away. He turned a little bit, he could stay brave up, maybe the ball would then go on his face, okay? But in this situation, I think the defense was totally not organized. How you see this, Jürgen, in this moment?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, a goal like that, you cannot concede. Too many mistakes. But it was in a phase where Japan just really kind of was getting to a level of confidence and belief that maybe surprised in Germany. You know, they didn't think that it's going to go that direction. And they were not really alert and focused anymore as they should be. So this is very, very frustrating, obviously, from a German perspective. There's no doubt about it. And going into a tournament, you know, with the first game not getting 1 point out of it, at least 1 point out of it, makes things very, very difficult. And obviously Germany now faces Spain, and this is a big clash. So, but it puts Germany extremely under pressure, you know, to beat Spain and to get, or at least, you know, to get through the group. You know, it will be difficult.
Yeah, so just to come back to what you said earlier, Zubi, it's a really good point and interesting about the defensive line break. So at the end of the first half, Japan finished with 4 defensive line breaks compared to Germany's 15. And by the end of the second half, Japan had increased that to 14 defensive line breaks versus Germany's 19. So only an increase of 4 for Germany and an increase of 10 for Japan. And just to go back as well to we were talking earlier about Raum's influence on the game. He finished with 1 more reception in behind by the end of the match. So he finished with 6 in total compared to the end of the first half when he had 5. So it just goes to show how the change in shape for Japan helped deal with Raum.
Guys, fantastic. Thank you very much. We are already on our way to our next game, Belgium against Canada. Hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.